Welcome to our podcast. This is Friends on Fire.
I'm Mike. I'm a lifelong devotee of financial independence. I even wrote a book about it.
And I'm Maggie, a newer convert, but just as passionate, especially on the intersection of minimalism and financial independence. We're one and the
same. We are two like-minded friends who believe that talking about money with your friends and family opens the door to financial well-being.
The Friends on Fire podcast is about dispelling myths, building financial acumen, and sharing your financial independence journey with the people you care about.
This is Friends on Fire.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Maggie.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited for today's topic. I say that on everyone. I don't think there's ever been a topic where I'm like, eh, wah, wah. Let's just get through this. Even taxes. I mean, there's really not a topic. But there's just certain topics that I'm like really excited. I just like, this is Friends on Fire. I like talking about money stuff. And so when I get jazzed about a certain topic, and sometimes you and I will talk about it a little bit in advance. And then I get like, this one we talked about, I pitched it to you a week. Actually, let me save this story for a minute. Cause let me tell you another story that's related.
Okay.
So do you remember in our 2022 spending review, which we did, I don't know, a month ago now, I committed that I wasn't going, I kind of had a two-part commitment related to something I wasn't going to spend any money on in 2023. What was it?
Clothing?
Yes. Okay. So I said I wasn't going to spend any money on clothing. And, but my one caveat, do you remember what? I can spend what I earn selling clothing.
Yeah.
So if I sell $100 worth of clothes on Poshmark or wherever, then I can spend $100, but I have to be net zero on my clothing expenses this year. So I just came back from a 5-day trip with my mom, and I say I took her. I like planned the trip and everything. Like, she paid me some money back for some of it, but like I paid for a good bit of the trouble. Most of the money she gave me, I really kept trying to tell her not to pay me because I really wanted to like take her on this trip. We went to Martha's Vineyard, which she hadn't been back to. It's where she originally met my dad, and they used to work over the summers. This context is not relevant to the story. I guess it is actually, sorry, it is relevant to the story. I'll tell you why. What were you going to say?
I'm just listening intently.
I know. So it's relevant to the story because we were on this like sentimental trip. She hadn't been back to Martha's Vineyard in 41 years, since 1981, which was the year after I was born. But that was where she met my dad in the summer of 69. And then they continued to spend a few summers there. They both had jobs there. My dad was a musician and was working, playing with his band there. And anyways, so there was this sentimentality of like, we were going back there. We were spreading my dad's ashes. He died like 10 years ago, but we were just like, since we were going there, we spread some of his ashes in various places around the island. And so it was like a sentimental trip, and which is one of my kind of excuses. Cause you know, I like to have things that are like memories from places. Like I remember my like Patagonia winter jacket I bought in Canada on our wedding trip. So every time I think of it, I'm like, oh, cool. I bought this. I didn't just like buy this at REI down the street. I bought this on my wedding trip. And I justify purchasing things I otherwise kind of quote need or want when I'm traveling because I have the time to shop and it's a cool memory that's not just some random tchotchke. So I'm like telling my mom that I like, there's a couple of things where I was like, oh, I'd really like to get like a hoodie from like Martha's Vineyard or something, but I'm not allowed to spend any money on clothes. And my mom was like, well, I can buy you clothes, right? And I was like, you can, mom.
You found a loophole.
And I was like at one point she wanted this kind of expensive bag. I was going to buy it for, I bought it for her, but either way, I was like, you know, mom, I was like, I can buy you anything. I can buy you clothes, mom, because that goes in my gift category.
Oh,
I just can't
God.
Buy
you
me clothes.
You two are cooking the books on your expense tracking.
We're cooking the books. So, I mean, what? This was not an even exchange. She was just willing because she's just, you know, lovely person and very generous with her money. She bought me a number of pieces of clothing. She bought me a new pair of tights from Lululemon. That's a purchase. That's like $130. She bought me a sweater, like a nice sweater from another store. She bought me this hoodie I'm wearing. See it, Mike?
Yeah, looks nice.
She bought me this hoodie from Plant City, which is Matthew Kenny's. He's like a famous vegan chef and owns a bunch of restaurants. From his like concept, it's like a bunch of restaurants in one in Providence, Rhode Island. Anyways, she bought me a number of things. and was very nice. But we had this whole funny conversation where I was like, well, you know, like I'll buy this for you. But I was like, but I cannot buy any clothing for me. And it was funny because she was like willing to buy me clothes regardless of the cooking the books approach. She just like bought them for me out of the, you know, generous, out of what's the word? Generous nature of her heart. Why can't I?
Generosity?
Generosity? Yes. Out of her own generosity. But I just thought it was funny because I was like, oh, yeah, I'm cooking the books.
Well, thank you for admitting it to me.
Yeah, you're welcome. So my gift expenses this year are going to be very high.
Yeah, okay.
So if anyone wants to buy me clothes, I'll buy you something else in exchange if you want. That's kind of how we're, I was telling my mom, I was like, this is how a lot of people end up in like white collar prison longer term. Not on personal expenses, like doing this from a business standpoint. Okay. And related to clothing and stuff, I'm so excited for today's topic. I pitched this to you a few weeks ago, Mike, and because I wanted to give you some time. I said, hey, Mike, I want to do an episode that is 10 products we love and why. And because, you know, we talk a lot about like minimalism, and like you don't need a lot of stuff, but there are a lot of things that I've spent good money on that add significant value to my life. And I love... I've listened to like multiple podcasts and read blogs where they'll talk about those things. And I love it. It's just like fun to hear what adds value to people's life and like what they find useful. So I pitched it to you and I was like, hey, Mike, so I just want to give you a heads up because like spend a couple of weeks thinking about what your 10 items are. And you looked at me. What did you say, Mike? Since you're here, why don't you tell us?
I couldn't quite process the concept that there would be like 10 things that I love.
So you couldn't come up, you were basically were like, I don't think I could come up with 10 things. And so then I started like,
I asked you to define specifically what you meant because I was having trouble processing it.
Yeah. Well, and I told you, I was like, I don't want you to see my list first because it'll like mess with your list. If you see someone else's list, I'll pick the same thing. You know what I mean? It just like messes with your head. Like, I want to know what you naturally come up as like your 10 favorite things or 10 products you love. And you were just like, I don't think there are 10 products that I love and that I like couldn't live without or whatever. And so I kept like pushing on you. And then after a while I stopped. When I say pushing on you, I was like saying like, I was like, well, what about your soap making supplies? And you were like, oh, my sister gave me her old ones. And I was like, but you wouldn't buy them again if they like got lost in a fire. And you're like, I don't know, you know? And so I stopped the conversation because we were on to record another podcast and we were just kind of having a sidebar. And I was like, Mike, I don't want to talk about this anymore with you because I was like, I want this to be the episode. I was like, I'm going to share my 10 things and then we're going to talk about why you can't come up with 10 things because that that is fascinating to me.
So the listeners are in for a real treat because we are picking up a off episode conversation now on record and you get to see how these how we really act with each other,
right? And you get to hear me try to recount a conversation and like tell you what Mike said while he's sitting here and I'm like, what did you say, Mike? Okay,
so there are no show notes. I have done no prep. This is going to be just off the cuff.
I have my 10 things listed and I'm not really sure, Mike, if I should like continue to push on why you can't come up with 10 things or see if you have you thought of anything since we talked about this?
I think I have some annoying clarification questions.
Oh, okay. Let's do that first. Go ahead.
Okay.
Be annoying. Do it. Get rolling.
I could not think of anything that I bought that wasn't like a sentimental item that I quote unquote loved or couldn't live without. I couldn't even really think of things that I would buy the same of if I lost them or they got broken. I just don't think I think or feel about things in the same way that other people do. Cause I think about money differently. So what I did come up with was there's a number of like practical items that I have where if I lost them, I would buy something that serves a similar purpose, but I might not buy the exact same thing.
This is everything you said is just fascinating to me because like even when I said, I think at some point I said 10 things I couldn't live without, like I could live without all of the things that I'm going to mention, but these are 10 things that I love and that add daily value to my life. And that if I got, if my house caught on fire tomorrow, I would quickly rebuy these things as I restarted my new life. And actually, another way to phrase it that I always loved is like, what would I take if I moved to a tiny house? Like, what are the things I would definitely take with me? You know, like I'd have to get rid of a lot of stuff, right? I live in a 3,200 square foot house now. If I moved into, you know, 200 or 300 square feet, these are things that would definitely come with me. And so I just find it like, I actually agree and appreciate the spirit of like what you're saying of like, I don't need any of these things to be happy. These things add value to my life, but like, I'll be okay without them. If I couldn't afford them, if I, you know, if something changed in the financial circumstances of my life, like I wouldn't have to rebuy them, you know, but I do love them. Right. And they make my life more enjoyable. They are conveniences and inventions that I really appreciate.
And I think that I just categorize these very specifically. So there are things that are super convenient for me, which I would want to have again. There are things that bring me enjoyment, and there are things that, you know, perhaps just make me feel good that I like having around. But I don't think about it in broad strokes as like, I love these things, because I don't think I love any things. I love sentimental things that I have in my life, but nothing that I've bought. Like, honestly, I can't think of anything that I've bought where I'm like, I have an emotional attachment to it.
That is fascinating and I think impressive. So kind of concerning, but also impressive a little bit, which is why I use the word fascinating. So another example, like when I threw that soap making one back at you, like I'm kind of like stumped. Like I want to find the thing. I think there might be some thing. Like you say there's no things. And then when you first told me that, I like kept naming things. And I was like, well, what about this? I would think you love this. What about this? And then every one you were like, nope, I'm good. If it goes away, like the soap making. And then I asked you, I was like, what about all, you get a bunch of like free Michigan lacrosse stuff because you do that video. You go back and like volunteer for the team and make some really cool documentaries that you do for the Michigan lacrosse team. And they give you a good bit of like nice swag, right? Like sweatshirts and dry fit shirts. Now. Yeah, you're wearing it right now. And I was like, what if like you didn't get all those for free? Wouldn't you still buy some like Michigan swag? And you were like, nope. It'd be good.
I wouldn't buy any Michigan stuff.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? Everybody thinks I'm like this huge Michigan fan. And whenever I wear this stuff out, everybody wants to talk to me about Michigan football and all kinds of stuff going on with Michigan. And I really don't like, I'm not into it that much. I just get the clothes for free and they're nicer than the stuff I buy for myself. So I wear it all the time.
Wasn't I with you somewhere where someone like yelled Michigan at you and you were kind of like, what?
Like, it was like in the summer of 2020 and we were in Asheville together. Do you remember? And some guy wanted to come over and like shake my hand or give me a fist bump. And he was like, and I ended up like, oh, I was and like, dude, stay away.
It was also COVID.
Yeah, that's it right. COVID. It was right in like the heart of the pandemic.
And he was like a drunk Michigan fan. I don't know if he was drunk. He was just real excited to see another Michigan fan.
Yeah.
And you were kind of like, I don't know who you are. Don't touch me. Aside from COVID, I think you were like, I'm just not that excited.
Yeah, I don't want people
Michigan.
To come up to me anyway.
You got to be careful wearing like collegiate gear because everybody, you're right, thinks that you're like a massive fan.
That's right.
So, okay, I'm going to go through my list, Mike.
Okay.
And I'm going to see if my list prompts any ideas for you.
Okay, let's do it.
Or if you're still as stuck on like, which no shame, if you're still like, I'm good. These are in no particular order. And look, I spent like an hour one day coming up with this list. I'm sure I would think of some other things that are more important to me. And look, my kids aren't on this list. This is products that I love, okay? And that add value to my life and that I've spent some of these no money and some of these some amount of like a reasonable amount of money on. Okay, number one is my Bose noise-canceling headphones. I love them. I wrote an article once on my blog, Mike, about how they make me a better parent. They're just amazing. I can listen to stuff while I'm vacuuming. I can drown out the noise of my kids doing like eight other things in our kind of main family room while I'm trying to, I like listen to a book while I'm washing dishes. And you can do this with other things too, but they really like, I use them when I meditate. I use them on airplanes. When I'm just sitting and working, they kind of like dull out the noise. Like they just create this like quiet cocoon. Even half the time I have them on, I'm not listening to anything. Sometimes I am, but a lot of times I'm not. Like when I'm meditating, when I'm sitting at my desk working, I would wear them in my office at work because I found noises and stuff like super distracting around me. Like even just like quiet chit chat out in the hallway, super distracting. So I would just like sit in my office and wear them. Like I love them. If they got damaged or lost, I would immediately buy a new pair.
Do you want me to respond to each of these?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a pair of AirPod Pros that a friend gave to me as a gift. And
it's a nice friend.
Yes.
And by the way, for those that aren't familiar, AirPod Pros are their earbuds, but they're the noise, they have noise canceling that's pretty solid.
Yeah.
Like not as much as the Bose ones that are over ear ones.
They have like spatial sound that's really cool. They're good products. I enjoy using them. I think they're very technologically impressive. If I lost them, I would evaluate what options are out there and maybe buy the same pair. But if somebody was like, you can never use these again, I'd be like, that's fine.
Well, look, if somebody said you could never use any of the products I'm about to name again, or like your kids won't be healthy and safe, or like you have to trade, you know, like I'd be fine without all this stuff. Like I could go live on an island and like make it, you know? But in the world we live in, the modern society, like I love them. And guess what number two on my list is, Mike? My AirPod Pros.
Oh, okay.
So I have two pairs of headphones. I love them for different things. I run with my AirPod Pros. And I when I'm just doing like things where I don't need like full noise canceling, they're just like smaller and lighter. And I go for walks with them. I run. They're just amazing. And I love them too. So like two of the things on my list are headphones. You already talked about AirPod Pros and I won't go into them, but if they got broken or lost or something, I would also replace them immediately.
Okay.
No question.
What's number three?
Okay. Number three is a little bit of a bundle, a suite of products, if you will. But my Apple suite, which I really could have put the AirPod Pros in here now that I think about it, but like my phone and my laptop. My Apple, like I like having a nice phone and a nice laptop. I have a MacBook Pro. Before that, when I was at work, I always had a MacBook of some sort, not a Pro. But when I retired, I bought myself a retirement. I bought myself a lot of retirement gifts, but I bought myself a MacBook Pro. It was the first time I had to buy myself a laptop in like 10 years. And I love Macs. I love this Pro in particular. It's like much more powerful than the Macs I had at work. And it's just fast. It's reliable. I love it. And it makes me happy. And I feel the same way about my phone, which is I also bought new when I left work. And I think it's a 13, but whatever the number is, I like having a modern phone. I love the wide angle lens on my camera. The two, and I can copy something from my phone and paste it on my computer. I often am like working between the two devices. And they're like in sync and harmony, and they're like me, my phone, and my computer. Like we're a solid team, you know?
I would agree to an extent. Like I'm a PC user, not a Mac user, but I built this PC, and if this one broke, I would just build a new PC, and it could be with whatever components. So it's not like I have any like emotional attachments to how it's
like
made.
Like a brand attachment, right?
But I would definitely need a PC. It is something I use all of the time.
Yeah.
Also, I would really, I mean, as far as brand loyalty, I've used Android phones before, and I just do not like them. I would get a new iPhone. I have an iPhone 11. Up until 6 months ago, I was using a 7, and it was fine, but it broke. But I didn't even buy the newest one. But I think the iPhone is probably the one thing where I would go buy that brand of item again.
Yeah, and it doesn't, you know, for the spirit of the exercise we're doing, it doesn't matter what brand it is. But I now have a list of two items for you, Mike. A computer and a phone. A computer and your iPhone.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think I have an emotional attachment to them.
Yeah, I feel you. It's usability. It's just you. It adds value to your life day to day. I have emotional. I mean, I think in general, I have way more emotional attachment in general, not just to things, but than you do.
Yeah.
Right. This is like in follow on from our financial intimacy discussion. Okay. Number three was like an A and B. Number four is 1Password. I love it. I've talked to you about this before. Are you using any sort of password management tool?
No, just in Firefox.
Oh my God, I love 1Password. I'll give a quick synopsis, but it is one of the leading, I wanted to see what the actual price is now. So we pay for the family version of 1Password. It is a password management tool. It has a Chrome attachment. You can actually do family members. So Greg and I each have our own individual vaults. It holds all of our passwords. It helps you. You can keep private notes in it. Which might be like your kid's social security numbers or like your kid's passport numbers, things that you frequently need to like look up and access. It's highly secure. I'm not going to get into like all of the like encryption methods they use and even how you have to access your own data. But you essentially remember 1Password, which is hence the name 1Password. And then that gets you access to all your other passwords. But it has to be like installed with a private key on your computer. They've got a Chrome plugin. I think there's a Safari plugin. I just prefer Chrome. And it's amazing. Like anytime I need to log into a site, it automatically, when I'm in Chrome and I like type in a new password or start a new account, it automatically saves that in 1Password. So you know when you go to these like obscure sites and you have to create a password and you're like, you might make something up and you're never going to remember it again. It remembers it for you and it saves it. Similar to how the browsers do now, but when you clear your browser, there's a bunch of things where you can like lose that information and it's not as secure being held by your browser, but it's an amazing tool. So I'm not going to go into too much detail on it. And we pay for the family one, which actually allows vaults for up to 5 family members. By the way, your family members, they're totally secure and private. And then you can have, there's a shared family vault. So Greg and I put certain passwords for like our rental business and other things in the shared vault, but then all our individual accounts we keep in our own private vaults. And it also has a feature, I can't remember exactly what it's called, but it basically allows you to note a beneficiary, and similar to like a, you know, some policy or something, but basically Greg and I can list each other as beneficiaries. And so if we ever have an issue, if one of us passes away or becomes, you know, in the hospital or like where we're not able to access things, I can contact them. And with my credentials, it will allow me to access Greg's stuff, which is really important if something happens to someone in your family do you know all of Britta's passwords to everything?
I am confused about where this episode is going. Are you pitching me on these products that you
no,
love?
No, I'm not pitching you. I'm just telling you why I love them. It's the products I love and why.
Okay. Name this. Okay. All right. It serves a very practical purpose
in your
life.
So it's super practical. Most of my things are pretty practical.
Okay. I subscribe to Dropbox, which I've used for a number of years. And there's always some 50% discount with Amex or some other partner. So I pay about $50 to $60 a year. I use it on my phone and Britta's phone, and I have a way of uploading photos and scanning receipts. Super practical. Really like the way it works. I renew it every year. So I think this is probably something similar where, you know, I don't have an emotional attachment to it, but I love it in the same way that you love 1Password. If it went up to like $300, I would just go find some alternative solution for it. I'm not that attached to it, but for the price, it has great value and purpose in my life.
Okay, so we have 3 things now. We're making progress, Mike. A cloud storage solution.
Yeah.
And by the way, I love Google Drive. It didn't make my top list, but it really should. So I'm not gonna be able to keep my list to 10. You know that. By the way, 1Password, the annual family plan is $60, or you can pay monthly, and there's cheaper individual plans. But I find it to be a very reasonable investment in my security and privacy and just ease of like if something ever happened to us and just being able to get into all of our accounts. Okay, number 5, my cast iron pan by Lodge. You know, Lodge makes like the...
I have a couple Lodge cast iron pieces.
They're nice and they're cheap, right? So mm-hmm. My favorite one is just the like, it's like a skillet one, you know?
I think I have that same one.
Yeah, it costs, I don't know, like $20 or something. Yeah, it costs $19.90 on Amazon. I think you can get them at Target, anywhere. It's amazing. You take care of them well. It works better than some much more expensive bougie pans. Speaking of that, I once fell for an Instagram ad that targeted me for a long time a few years ago. And it was for... a pan called the Always Pan. It was by a company called Our Place. They come in like pretty colors. It's like our 8-in-1 toxin-free ceramic nonstick pan designed to do it all. It's just a pan and a lid. It's a pan and a lid. I am embarrassed to tell you what it cost, Mike.
It was like $300, right?
Not that much. $145. Maybe it was like $150 at the time. But online, they're $145 right now. And they come in a few pretty colors. For those who care, I chose the blue. It's a piece of shit. It worked for like a little while. It's like non-stickness doesn't work. It came with like 50 instructions about how to maintain the non-stickness. And I was like, what the, like, this is like a new pet I have to manage. Like, this is like managing a child or something. It was very high maintenance and it sucked. And Greg would get like mad when he had to make like eggs or something in it. And the thing is, when I got it, I got rid of some other pans. My minimalist in me was like, oh, we don't need like five pans that are all the same size. So I got rid of some like good pans that I donated for this stupid pan. I hated it. I dealt with their customer service when it finally just got so terrible and Greg was always getting angry at it. And Greg doesn't get angry at a lot of things, but he and this pan did not get along. And me, I didn't either, but he definitely like had some like run-ins with this pan. I often like, we recently like retired it and just were like, you're a piece of crap, get out of our lives. And I dealt with customer service and they're like, oh, sorry, it's past the warranty. And they're like telling me all these things that I should have done to take better care of it. And I was like, you suck. And my my $20 cast iron pan is better. And I just need that reminder sometimes of like these fancy things that I get targeted for on Instagram, like they are not better than the classics, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you put a cast iron pan on your list?
No. We talked about this a couple episodes ago, the Le Creuset, cast iron.
You got
iron,
your replacement.
Ceramic.
I saw it. You sent me.
Yeah. If I had to pay for one, I wouldn't buy it to replace it. You know, I got it for free, which was nice, but I'm not attached to any of the cookware. In any way, really.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look, while we're on cookware, this was later on my list, but let me just cover all cookware at once.
Okay.
Also a dual category, my Instant Pot and air fryer. Love them. Greg was just talking about how much he loves them the other night. Like, we make a ton of things in the Instant Pot, chili, soup, rice. It's so quick and easy. And the air fryer is amazing. Like, we cook tofu in particular in it, and it is like better than any tofu I get in restaurants. I just love them. I'm going to leave it at that. If either one of them broke, I would immediately replace them. And I cook a lot of like, but I don't use my oven as much anymore.
We also got an air fryer. I think after your recommendation, wasn't expensive, works really well, saves us the, you know, the energy and the hassle of heating up the whole oven. So yeah, I think this is one where it's like very practical. We use it all the time. I would get something similar if that broke. But okay. Won't be attached to it. I couldn't even tell you what brand we got.
Yeah, I have no idea what brand either one of them is also. I just love them and I would replace them with something if they broke. Okay, so we're at four on your list, Mike. I'll recap your list for you at the end. Okay, next one, my library card. I love it. I listen to, 50 plus books a year on Libby. I check out books for my kids that they need for school and for other things. I check out books for myself, all sorts of just like, I've got some books on woodworking right now. I have some vegan cookbooks out from the library now. We check out puzzles sometimes. Like, I use my library card for so many things and I get so much value from it. And it's free and I just love it. Do we have a number five for you, Mike?
I mean, I guess I like the library too. It's like there's no friction, you know, it's free, it's close by, it's easy to get stuff on the Libby app, but, you know, it doesn't cost any money. So,
well, let me ask you a question. Okay. If they were going to shut down public libraries in the city of Dunwoody, yep, which is where you live, and there was like something you could do to volunteer to help to keep them open, would you put a little bit of time into that?
Depends on
how
much time.
A little bit of money.
Depends on how much money.
What if they were like, hey, if everybody chips in $50, we can hire a lawyer to fight this with the city and the libraries will remain open, but we need your $50, Michael Leary.
If it was $50 and we could do it, then yes.
Okay. What about, we're going to keep going up. What about $75? Okay. I was going to say number eight, but who knows what number I'm on. My weighted blanket.
I can really tell you right now, I have nothing like that.
I know. I love it. You know, I love it, but this goes in the category of something I love. We use it really during the winter, and we have like a love-hate relationship with it because it's like sleeping under a cocoon, and it's like someone giving you a warm hug while you sleep. Greg now loves it too. But then we also get angry at it because it's like heavy. You're trying to like get like move it or something and like kind of shift in the middle of the night. And it's like, I swear I've like thrown my pulled a muscle moving under it before because it's heavy and it's like awkward when you're like laying and trying to like move it or something. But I love it. But I might put it in the category of like if it disappeared, I'm not sure I would like need to replace it right away.
Okay, so we're now adjusting your list.
Yeah. Well, it's just it's still something I love. Okay, next one. I'm curious to know what you think of this. I think I know what your answer is going to be. My scanner. I love my scanner. We did a whole episode on this.
No, I think we're going to diverge on this. The scanner served a great purpose for me when I digitized all of my print records of stuff a few years ago, inspired by you and Evernote. And
we discussed it in episode 117, the ultimate paper-free way to control your financial life.
And now that I've done it, though, I would not need it again. And I use it very rarely now because I scan stuff from my phone, which has the optical character recognition. So we'll need the scanner.
Well, that's what I was going to say is I knew you were going to say that you could do it with your phone. Because you're right. If you're scanning things in bulk, it's super helpful. But when you're just doing like a few pieces of mail or like the tax documents that came in or something like that, yes, there's now such good quality cameras and optical,
optical character recognition?
Yes, OCR. That it's, you could do it on your phone now. And so again, we have a pretty expensive scanner that we've had for a long time. And I guess if it broke, I might actually just say like, oh, could we get by with our phones? But I still love it. I enjoy it. I use it every couple days. It's easy to use. Okay. That's a good, I'm working my way towards, okay, my last one's a big one.
Okay.
We're going to do an episode on this soon, too.
Oh, man.
The Tessie. I love her.
The Tesla.
I have never loved a car before. Like, I like the modern conveniences that certain cars offer. I've never been, like, a car person. I've never, like, worried about like, I don't know how fast the car goes or like what it has under the hood or whatever people say. It's just a joy to drive. Like it is fun to drive. I like driving places now. I just don't know how to describe it other than it's fun and I love driving it. Now, if it got taken away, if I had any sort of financial struggles or anything else, I could be totally fine without it. I was in some car recently. It was like an older, I don't know what it was, but I was like, I totally, like if I couldn't afford this, like I easily just need a car to get from, I could drive your,
Ford Explorer?
It doesn't have a name, does it? It should have a name. Old man.
Bluey.
Let's call him Old Bluey. Old needs to be in the word. Old Bluey, remind people how old Bluey is.
2003.
That's old.
But drives like a 19th century stagecoach.
Is that a good thing?
No, it's not.
Okay. But my point is I could drive Old Bluey if I needed to, and it would get me from, sometimes it would get me from point A to point B. But I still just, I love it. Like I'm having a little love affair with her. Like she's fun to drive. I don't like driving the Subaru anymore. I only like to drive, the Tesla is technically Greg's car, but I'm constantly like driving it. It's fun to drive. I'm ending on a bang on that one.
All right.
As this list, I feel like this list has just created anxiety in you.
Yeah, especially the car one.
Don't worry about the car one. We're going to do an episode soon on the finances of the car.
Ooh,
It's fun. I've been on Greg because he needs to do it. But there's a longer story behind the Tesla and why we own it. And we'll get into it. So I hope that's a teaser for people. Not meant to be. It's just a long story that I don't have time to get into right now. Has this list, I've noted five things for you, Mike. Computer, iPhone, a cloud storage solution, a la Dropbox, an air fryer, and your library card, which you're willing to donate about $50 to save. Is there anything else where you're like, these things really add value to my life? And like, Your tool. What about your tool? Oh, when I told Greg about this, he was like, what about all his tools? I know he loves to do like DIY work. What about your tools? What if you lost all your tools? Would you rebuy some basic tools?
Yeah, but I wouldn't buy the exact same ones. Wouldn't buy the same brands. That's fine. Might not be the same purpose of them. I would buy some of them. But there's also ones that I have that I don't need anymore, you know?
But you value your power tools.
Yeah. But I also, you know, value my refrigerator and my microwave. You know, there's a lot of things that I have spent money on that I would kind of need in my life in order just to live. But I still don't, you know, I still don't have any products that, you know, the way you framed this up to me was like products that you love. I honestly, like, I cannot think of one thing that I love that I have any sort of emotional attachment to. That's really what we're talking about.
There are some very
practical things that serve a great purpose in my life. I don't love any of them.
Do you think Britta has things that she has an emotional attachment to? Like certain things? Like, I know there's some sort of coffee she likes. I know that's like a treat over the holidays, but like anything that's...
I think, well, like on the coffee example, it's more of just like a annual tradition and a sign of my affection that I get it for her. I'm not sure she likes the flavor of it, but you know, if she were to never have it again, she'd be fine. That is a good question. I'm going to go ask her after we're done with this episode and let you know.
Okay. We'll do a follow up on that.
My guess is probably not, though.
I feel like based on what I know of Britta, I think she would have a similar response to you. Mm-hmm. This is why I wanted to do this discussion, even though when we first talked, you were like, you didn't get the concept. You were like, I don't think I could come up with 10 things. And I was like pushing and be like, well, what about this? And what about this? I do want to say, I think I got you to a list of 6 things, but the point is not, I think it's fun to like share cool things that we find value in. And so it's been done. Now you guys know some things that Mike and I find value in. I'd love to hear some stuff you guys find value in. Maybe we'll do some social gathering of that on Instagram. But I sound really old when I say things like social gathering or like misuse how I'm talking about.
We'll turn to the social media.
We'll go to the World Wide Web and see what we can conjure up from our friends. So what I find most fascinating about this and why I love like just having these conversations, Mike, is your relationship to things. It's not there in a good way, right? Like it's what has created, or not say what created, it is what has helped to fuel your financial progress in life, right? Like there's a lot of things that have helped to fuel that, right? Like you have a good job, you have a good salary, all that stuff, but you don't spend your money on superfluous things, right? You're not sort of constantly chasing happiness through things.
I think you're exactly right. I don't get...
That's a compliment, by the way.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Observation and compliment.
I don't make a lot of emotional money-based decisions. It's just not emotional to me.
Yeah. And it's funny. I am in I can totally relate to it and respect and appreciate how you think about this stuff. But I'm different in the sense of I have no doesn't bother me because I can afford it. It doesn't bother me to like spend money on things like this that I value. Like all of these things I value and add value to my life every single day. And so I'm okay spending money on them. Obviously like the Tesla is an extreme example. It's much more expensive. By the way, I feel like I quoted in our episode with like annual expenses. I quoted did I say it was in the 50s?
Yeah.
I think I said it was in the high. I meant 40s, by the way. I don't know why I said 50s. I realized that after the fact and I was like, it's like too much work to go back and change episodes. It's in the high 40s, not 50s. But anyways, so that's kind of an extreme example. But I value these things and I know that if I couldn't afford them and or just couldn't have them or had to make trade-offs in my life, I would still be happy. I know that my happiness is not impacted by them. And I often remind myself of that because it is what helps me to have a more minimalist approach about things. But I also enjoy them and do get value from them, so I'm willing to spend on them. And it's like both of those things can be true, right? Like I like them, I have them, I enjoy them, if they were ripped away from me tomorrow and one of my kids was really sick and I had to sell everything I own to pay for some life-saving surgery, which is from out of some like movie or something, I'd do it in a heartbeat. No big deal. I would find happiness in other things, you know, but I also enjoy them.
Yeah, I think that's very reasonable.
I just think there's no like wrap up to this episode, guys. I don't know that we.
There's
no top three takeaways. We could probably rattle some off, but
Mike likes his iPhone. Takeaway one.
Mike's indifferent to which cloud storage solution he uses. I just think it's. I love having these conversations because I just think it's interesting to dive into how we think about stuff and money and what makes us happy and what we truly need to be happy. And just as a reminder, we don't need any of this stuff to be happy, but we can also have some conveniences in our life, like an air fryer, which might be on our Venn diagram of, you know, overlapping concentric circles. We've got some library cards and some air fryers in there.
Yeah.
And an iPhone.
And AirPods.
Yeah. Oh, and AirPods, right. But they said you're not going to replace the AirPods is the problem. You're going to get a new air fryer, but you said you wouldn't necessarily like shell out for AirPod Pros.
Yeah, I would think about it long and hard.
Yeah. Okay. We've probably done enough on this subject. I appreciate you humoring me with trying hard to come up with some things. And
you are welcome.
Okay. Well, guys, thanks for listening. If you have been challenged or inspired by what you have heard today, please rate and review the show. You can also subscribe to make sure that you never miss an episode.
If you have any thoughts or questions, we'd love to hear from you, and you can leave us a voicemail or text us at 404-981-3370 or hit us up on Instagram.
Mike, we're going to do this check-in after every episode, but what have you not heard a single thing of from me on this episode?
Sniffling.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. All right. Well done.
Feedback received. Remember, if you want to go leave us a review that doesn't comment about my sniffling, feel free to. Okay. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Maggie.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.